At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know, could kill
the order of hornets.
Groupies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo! Doom scroll, you good-looking son of a bitch.
All right, we're doing the news. Well, Jimmy Carter is the first president ever to live to be 100 years old. How about that?
Good for him.
What was that? Why did you just eat a Dorito going, oh, good for him?
Oh, the Dorito's good.
Yeah. But you did it in like a flip, like, yeah, well, good for him.
No, well, good for him. I mean, you live to be 100. Congratulations.
He's a great man.
I know.
Whether you think he was a good president or not, he's a good man. He inspires Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood to build houses.
I shook his hand.
Is that the one your mom took you to the political thing?
Carter.
Said that it would be good for you?
Right, just around the street. I don't know if she thought it would be good for me.
Oh, I thought she said for some reason, like, this would be a good... Did she take you out of school for it?
Yeah, he was talking in, like, a parking lot, and so we walked over there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Seems like the kind of thing that a parent would say, I'm going to take you out of school because this would be good for you. My mom did that a lot for funerals. She took me out of school to go to funerals.
Me and my dad went and saw McCain when he was running.
Yeah, but that's because you guys were huge fans.
Yeah.
That wasn't like, hey, son, I want to show you something. That was like, oh, my God, McCain. How much more money can we give him? And I think we might get a chance to actually... see him. We're going.
That was like the first time he was running.
In like 2000.
Against
primary
Bush.
Against Bush, right? Yeah. That was when Bush sent out the, the robocall, right?
That's allegedly. When McCain was still a guy I would vote for. Remember he was calling people out stuff? And Then he lost and he was like, yo.
Well, he was pretty critical of Bush, I think, still, like, during his presidency, wasn't he?
Yeah, but then when he ran, then he was like, you know what, and it happens to every politician left and right.
Gotta capitulate.
Once they get in it, they're like, all right, well, I can't just not do this. And what you could tell with McCain, at least, was that he so didn't want to do it.
McCain wanted to argue politics, and he wanted to
say that I disagree with these guys, and you could tell even when he was like, finally, he was like, he's a terrorist. He's like, Jesus Christ, just let's lose.
Yeah, because I can't do it. He's like, I don't like that this is the people that I'm attracting.
Exactly.
And I didn't used to attract these types of people. Mm-hmm. I liked him. I tell you one of the things that I liked about him, I don't know why we're talking about McCain.
I thought one of the cool things was when we went to his rally, at the end of it, you know, they had like balloons and stuff, and so me and my dad, whatever, they hand them to you, we're walking out with them. And I know they've done this at other ones, so it's not the only thing. But it's the first time somebody did it to me. They're like, hey, can we have those so we can use them at the next one?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That's weird. It's saving money.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I liked when, this was, you know, later on, shortly before he died, really, but one of the last big things. I thought it was important and good when he called out the NFL for saying, hey, everyone here thinks that you're doing the national anthem and bringing because you're a patriotic organization.
You're getting paid for
it. You're getting paid for it, and people should know that. And it's like, goddamn right, we should know it. I don't necessarily have a problem with you getting paid for it. The military saying, actually, I know I don't have a problem with it. But what I do have a problem with is
they got to promote themselves. I'm fine with it, but I'm worried. When the NFL's like, hey, we're doing this because...
We're so patriotic.
No, you're not.
Yeah, like people.
You're doing it because they get paid.
People needed to know that, and there was a response that was like, "Who cares? What's the difference?" It does matter, and if people can't see that, then I worry a little bit.
Single-handedly, we saved Obamacare. Remember the thumbs down?
Thumbs down.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of moderate Republicans, old school Republicans. Like, I've got immediate family who thought that the Republican Party was still mostly made up of the McCains and the Romneys and the whatever, and you know, and maybe some of them still think that. I don't know who those people would be today. But like, my immediate family member used those names, talked about how he thought that that's what the party was, and he says, you know, it changed. Yeah, well, I think both parties have changed. That's what happens when as you get older. We know that they're going to eventually, I guess, flip all the way around to where... Liberals are conservative. Isn't that how it works? Yeah. I mean, it's already happening now, right? In a way, I think, because I'd say liberals are now conservative about sex in a lot of ways.
Right, sure.
And who
speech,
knows? Anyway,
pro-censorship.
Yeah, speech is a big one. Pro censorship. When I was young, the whole thing was like, oh, well, which side should I be on? And the left was supposed to be this free speech, right? It was like, oh, and the right was like, we're going to be conservative Christian values. And that was kind of it. And now it's like, if a kid's coming of age now and you're trying to explain the two parties, I don't know what you're talking
about. Right, exactly.
I mean, now you say each party is probably a cult of personality to a certain extent, and I don't really know what either stands for. But Jimmy Carter, whether he's a good president or not, good guy, 100 years
president
old.
President Jimmy Carter is celebrating his 100th birthday today. It's the first time an American president has lived a full century. President Carter is expected to mark his birthday in the same one-story home in Plains, Georgia, that he and his wife, late wife Rosalind, built in the early 1960s. Carter has spent the last 19 months in hospice care, where he continues to defy expectations, just as he did throughout his career.
Man, I remember seeing him at that funeral, and you know, you just go, I felt bad for him.
He's just
you
not
know?
Gonna die.
I know, and it's like at that point when you saw him at that funeral, it was like, man, you know, he's not happy. I don't think, but who knows? Maybe he's feeling okay. I don't know. Didn't look like it though.
Yeah.
I used to be defensive of Carter. I wasn't alive when he was president, but I used to be kind of defensive of him. Oh, we put up the solar panels. What was so bad with that? But then Snowcone got me listening to that British history podcast where one of the British Oxford professors is like an American history expert.
Yeah.
And
specialty.
You know, he said he was like, Carter really wasn't he wasn't a great leader. And, you know, and it kind of changed my opinions a little bit. I'm like, all right, well, this really smart British guy.
He's an Oxford professor.
Oxford professor says that, you know, Carter's a good guy, but he might not have been a great president. So, okay, well, what do I know?
I think a lot of people have said that. Also, he got hit for stuff, you know.
Yeah, there were things out of his control.
He came out in a cardigan and was like, you know, hey.
Yeah.
You know, let's not be so...
Wasteful.
And let's not be so dependent on foreign oil.
Right.
Maybe we could put on a sweater.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, you pussy, I swear to God.
Yeah, that's not the American way.
I will kill you.
Not the American
put
way.
Put some air in your tires.
You know...
Put some air in your tires. I just know how America... And by the way, I wasn't old enough to vote or anything,
right.
But, you know...
No, it's how they react.
Come on here and be like, tell me, put on a sweater and put extra air in my tires.
Right. No, we did...
How about you put a bomb up somebody's ass, get that oil
we conquer.
Cheap.
That's right. We conquer.
All right?
Yeah, well,
we ain't a nation of thinkers.
No.
We're a nation of ass kissers.
That's right.
Or kickers.
Kickers.
Yeah,
well, and kissers. You gotta have ass kissers, and they kiss the ass of the ass kickers.
Right.
Because you gotta keep those ass kickers feeling good about their ability to kick ass. You know, what is All-American is betting on sports, and Pete Rose, I did not think... If you asked me a week ago, how long will Pete Rose live? And
he
I knew he was 83.
In that documentary.
He seemed totally fine in that documentary, and I would have said that's a guy that's going to live to be 95.
Yeah, for sure.
He seems like he's in good shape.
He was getting around finally.
Exactly.
I don't know how long ago that was filmed, but it was
not that long
ago. A year.
And I saw a clip of his last interview, which was just from a couple weeks ago, and he was on some local news station asking again to be reinstated in baseball, and he looked like he did in the documentary, so I was surprised. I never would have guessed that. I mean, I know he's in his early 80s.
Leslie, you were like a huge
time,
fan of
I'm a huge
kid,
fan
right?
of Pete Rose.
Pete Rose is like the ultimate You don't grinder. Have a lot of guys. Exactly. You don't have
he's
any.
He's a grinder, man.
One
like,
given,
of course, he's got a ton of talent, you know, and an unbelievable baseball player, but a grinder.
But he's like,
he practiced more than you. He works harder than you. He would run harder than you. He play harder than you. Everything was about winning.
Right. He's not the fastest. You know? He's not. He's not the. Of anything.
No.
So, but.
Except for maybe the greatest.
Except for maybe
right,
the
exactly.
greatest.
Like,
again,
I'm not
which
the
is...
EST at anything, but I might just damn well be the greatest. And that's pretty crazy.
What's more American than that, right?
Everybody on their feet here in Cincinnati and a worldwide television audience watching here at Riverfront Stadium. 2-1 pitch from Shaw. Certainly his crowning achievement. And for baseball, a game that grows from its past and finds warmth in statistics, this is one of the all-time great moments.
I would highly recommend, even if you're not a Pete Rose fan or a fan of baseball, to watch that documentary on HBO or Max. I'm not sure which one it originated from, I think, but it's definitely on Max. Have you seen it, Snowcone? It's really interesting.
No,
I think you'd like it. I know you're not a baseball fan. And you can come away from it thinking that you like the guy or not. I still think it's an interesting documentary.
He reminds me a little bit, crazy enough, of Vince McMahon.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yes,
he does.
No,
it's like
I thought that
driven,
when I was watching McMahon.
Me too. Driven, like, guy.
Kind of crude sometimes.
That, yeah, crude. Like, a weird, and I don't, a weird obsession with sex.
Yeah.
And that weird obsession, like, we're all obsessed with sex. But a weird obsession with sex where you think, you know those people who just say stuff that's out of place?
Yeah.
Like, what are you thinking about right now? And they're like, I'm thinking about having sex. And you're like, all right, why, right. What's the point?
McMahon said that
McMahon
in the documentary.
And so, but Pete Rose is always talking about it, too. And,
yeah.
They're like, what do you like about baseball? He's like, I like sex. And you're like, all right, I didn't ask you that.
Mm-hmm.
Just had that same kind of feel, like a couple of guys who didn't come from much, right?
Yeah.
Whatever they had, they built it into something amazing. And they did it through working 24 hours a day harder than anyone else. And with that, didn't have any approval from their dad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Worked hard
it's
for the approval from their dad. Like, all
really
of those things. And didn't really understand how their actions could hurt other people.
Yeah.
And just expected you, in many ways, to act like they did, which was... Get up. People have hurt me my whole life. Get up and start going. And people are like, well, that's not how I want, you know, that's not how it works. And they were, I think, blindsided by the fact that all's not forgiven in 15 minutes. Like, work harder.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I found that the two characters, oddly enough, Vince McMahon and Pete Rose, very, very similar.
I thought it watching the McMahon thing, too. I would say McMahon is definitely more so. Like, he's probably a little more exaggerated in a lot of those things, but Pete Rose definitely had it. And, I mean, one of the funniest moments
but
in
it was even a lot of sex with Pete Rose. Like, well, were you
no,
having
I
sex
know.
With a 17? Like, I don't know, but whatever. It's
at
legal,
a different time,
like,
yeah.
Right, like, it felt
a
lot
the
same. He
went to a dinner, whatever that dinner was, and the old Cincinnati announcer who called the games for years... obviously knows Pete Rose, walks in to say hi to him. He's got his wife with him. And Pete Rose says, hi to the guy.
Still got great cans. Huge cans.
Still got huge cans. He's like, how you doing? I see you still got huge cans. And she's like, oh, Pete. And you're like, okay,
right.
That's who
that's
this guy
him,
is.
And people know it.
Yeah.
Hypersexualized. He was a lot like Vince.
So what do you think? Should he have been reinstated? And will he be reinstated now that he's dead?
Well, I think he should have been in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
I don't. There's no question in my mind. I don't think you can erase what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, like, and I think Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't see why they can't have just a section. So, like, when you walk into the Hall of Fame, you see Barry Bonds and whoever else should be in there, right? You know, A-Rod or whoever from the steroid era, right? McGuire, Sosa, right? And have it in there and have a plaque, a descriptor. It's a museum.
Yeah.
Right? It's a Hall of Fame. Have a descriptor and a plaque that says, you know, hey, during these times, and explain the whole steroid era. It was legal up until this time.
Yeah.
And then it was illegal. And here's the guys who played during the steroid era. We don't know if all of them took steroids. Here's some that we do know, right? And have a wing for the steroid era. I just don't think it's that big of a deal. And you can't erase all the hits picked. Pete God.
Do you think anyone will ever break his record, being the all-time hit leader?
Maybe.
I mean, because you look at Ty Cobb was the closest. Yeah. Isn't Ty Cobb still second?
Yeah.
And then when you drop down below that, there was quite a gap. So I thought, this could be one of those that I never see broken in my lifetime. I mean, you know, look, every record is made to be broken.
Right.
I thought, man, that's one of those that could stick for a while.
It could, for sure.
And it's especially crazy that it came from a guy that,
but
like we
when
said,
you put it together, I think, and someone, Snowcone's stat checked me on this, but I think if you took all of the hits that Ichiro had in Japan,
and then all the hits,
I'm not saying that that should count.
No.
But what I am saying is that somebody did kind of do it.
Yeah, and there's another thing for your museum, by the way.
Right, and if Ichiro would have come straight to the U.S.,
then maybe
he would have gotten it.
Yeah.
So in my head, I think that probably someone will.
Yeah.
It'll take a long time, and look, Ichiro, you know,
but Ichiro
one of the
is
greatest
Ichiro.
Great players ever.
That's just
so,
it.
Right.
And Pete Rose.
Somebody's coming. Maybe it's Bobby Witt.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like, we see things happen all the time. You're looking at, you know, you're watching Shohei Ohtani do stuff and pitch. Like, and then you're like, oh, he can't pitch anymore. He probably won't be that good. And then you're like, well, now he's just stealing bases, too. Like, people can do it, and they can pull it off.
If you add Ichiro's hits in Japan to the ones here, it's 4,367.
Well, that beats
which makes him
that beats
number
him.
One, right?
Yeah, because it's 4,200 and something.
So, I mean, somebody, not, you know, maybe in a competition, people could whatever.
If, again, separate but, section of the museum.
Right.
Here's this many.
You know, and have
MLB.
One for Pete. Be like, hey, you know, this guy was had a lifetime ban from baseball.
Yeah.
Here he is. He's the all-time hit leader. Like, I don't understand why you can't do that. Like, people are able to do more than one thing. Like,
right.
We're allowed to think of things in more than one thing. And that, I don't think it, letting any of those people in doesn't, I think the Hall of Fame is an award, but it doesn't invalidate anybody.
And like you said, it's a museum. He did get the hits, and you're not saying that the hits didn't count.
He did get the hits.
He wasn't using steroids. That wasn't the scandal. It's not that he was.
And he got the hits.
Juiced.
It's not like you're taking somebody who maybe could get into the Hall of Fame or not.
He got the hits.
He clearly would be in the Hall of Fame without the gambling.
Right.
So put him in there and then say he gambled.
Yeah.
Time to pass the collection plate.
Give with a joyful heart, and you will be blessed.
The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9 The Rock.
It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know, could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo! We're finishing the news. Well, remember COVID? We all remember that. We're old enough to remember COVID. Remember?
Mm-mm.
That was a thing. And, you know, it was hard to get stuff for a while. They called
hard
it.
To get, like,
what
kind of
there
stuff?
Was something wrong with the chain. All kinds
what
of
chain?
Stuff. The supply chain. The chain
what
of supplies. Yeah, like there was toilet paper shortages.
I have a good day.
I don't know if that counted as part of it. I think that was just people freaking out. But then for a while, it was hard to buy stuff. I don't know. I just recall there being supply chain shortages. Am I saying that right, Stone? It was hard to get stuff, but now they're saying it could happen again, and it's probably going to happen because this whole dock workers thing. Yeah, I really thought that. I don't know anything about it. For some reason, yesterday when
Tommy
I saw the news, like, don't figure it out.
Shift at the dock. Is it that guy who's on strike?
Yeah, he's of course he's out there.
Dock worker.
He's the one, the face of it.
I always thought that'd be a good job, man.
Man, I always thought it would be good to work for one of these unions, like when. I think it was UPS, one of the delivery companies a few years ago. I remember they said, we want air conditioners, we want this raise. And they, when they ended up getting it, I was like, God, look at how much more money they just got. Look at all, they got a lot of stuff through that union.
Right.
And like these dock workers are asking for, well, here, they'll tell you what they're asking for. I figured last night they would have struck some sort of deal, but they still haven't. So
this is the first time in nearly 50 years that tens of thousands of those union dock workers reports all along the East and Gulf Coast have gone on strike. The union wants a 77% wage increase, limits on the use of automated machines. Alliance has responded with a nearly 50% pay hike. So 14 ports that handle more than half of cargo that come into the U.S. are now at a virtual standstill. So that means products like groceries, clothes, machinery will not be loaded on or off container ships. This strike really could be crippling for the U.S. economy.
Yeah, if you look at a map and see all the docks that are on strike now, it's like we're not going to be getting stuff. There's going to be shortages soon unless they figure this out. And if you caught that, they're asking for like a 70-some percent raise, maybe it's 70%.
They said 50?
And yeah, they came back and said, we'll give you 50. But one of the other things the dock workers have asked for, you heard her say like automated machinery. They're talking about these cranes. They want to limit the use of machines, which I understand. it's been going on since the Industrial Revolution that people are scared of machines taking their jobs, because they do.
Right.
But as pro-union as I am, and support the idea of like, hey, we're going to tariff these things coming in, so we want to protect American jobs. I'm all about that. When it comes to technology and saying, hey, but we don't want you using these cranes or whatever it is, this automated technology that really helps us, I am kind of at a like, well, there's got to be some give and take here, because you can't just say no technology, right?
No, right.
When you can speed things up and
I'm with you.
I don't know.
Maybe train these guys to fix the cranes.
Right, because that's
just a lot of a job. I know a lot of guys that I grew up in Detroit where they become robot mechanics.
My buddy did it, and each union was responsible for a certain thing. Like, if they sent him to fix something, no one else was allowed to touch whatever it was that he was going to touch, because he was just fixing, like, electrical equipment or something. But then even if the electrical equipment that he's working on is controlling some sort of robot arm, well, it could be a different person who comes to work on the... And, I'm totally pro-union, and I love seeing the results that some of these unions get. I think it's awesome. But that thing about the cranes, I don't know enough about it. It's not like I've read into it. It seems like that's the hang-up, though. And when they're asking for 70% raise, I don't remember if it was UPS or if it was the auto workers, but I remember them asking for that huge raise, and the company kept coming back and saying, all right, we'll give you this much, we'll give you this much. And then in the end, they gave them what they asked for. And it's amazing, because it seems like they're asking for a lot. Could you imagine if you just went to our boss today and said,
"That's a good question, worker." I don't know.
That's a good question.
Like, I think 77% is a lot, but I don't know what these guys are getting paid.
But just imagine if you went to your our boss today and said, "I want a 77% raise, or I'm going on strike. There's inflation. I want that's a big increase.
It's a big increase, but I mean, it would be a big increase anyways. But what do they get paid? Like, they get paid $12 an hour, $10 an hour, $20 an hour, $100 an hour? What are they getting paid?
Since they're union, I think they got to be making at least $20-some an hour. But
I don't know.
Snowcone, can you look that up and see what these union dock workers are making right now? Big news, I guess, came out yesterday that Oasis, but we didn't talk about
it. Why don't you just go down there to, like, Boston and cross that picket line, start taking... If we lived in Boston, I swear to God, I would make you do that for this radio show.
Put on a Reagan shirt.
And just go down there and get on these ships, start carrying boxes off.
I ain't no scab.
One on one, just carrying them off.
No, I ain't no scab. Not with dockers especially.
Would that, that would be amazing.
I'd be killed.
You'd be on TV. Oasis, I know some people are fans of that band.
I am.
Big news about the tour and... how many years? Whatever. We've talked about this when they made the announcement. But yesterday they announced a North American tour date, so now you've got some idea. The problem is, we're talking about next year. Can we bet on the Oasis tour? They should allow bets on that.
Real quick, average dock worker salary is $20 an hour, basically.
For a union dock worker?
As high as 26.
Okay, so $20, and what's 77% of that?
Oh, boy. Here we go. $17.
We can do 10.
Calculators.
10%.
Well, I'm not going to do it in my head.
Cut all this, please, and post.
Well, we got it.
If you could.
10% is 2. 20% is 4.
They want $15 more.
Yeah.
So...
$35. That's not a crazy number.
No, because there's plenty of people doing similar jobs.
When you say 77%, it sounds like, well, you know, what do they want to go from $100 to $177? Right, but that ain't it. They want to go from 20 to 37.
Which, in 2024,
yeah, that ain't bad.
Sounds reasonable to me. Anyhow, Oasis did announce, did you guys see yesterday where the tour dates, the stops in North America? I didn't see one here.
The newly reunited band hitting the road, announcing there is indeed the lineup of the North American tour dates finally. The 90 superstars will be hitting Toronto, Chicago, New Jersey, L.A., and Mexico City starting in August of next year. That is after they wrap up their run. And I say this like we hope they can make it.
No kidding.
They're going to be performing with the band Cage the Elephant. The pre-sale kicks off later this week.
Cage the Elephant opening up for them. That's good
in
for
Chicago,
those guys.
That'd be good.
And now I guess you just
have to figure out how to get tickets.
If you're a fan, you say, all right, well, you got to go to Chicago. That's the closest date. How much would that cost? And what are the odds that it will happen? Will the band make it that long? You know? I don't know.
Which one needs the money?
I'd be surprised if they play North America at all.
That's kind of how I feel.
If they finish the UK thing, I'd be surprised.
If I were putting money on it right now, I'd say they don't finish this leg that they're on.
No.
But I don't know. Have we gotten any updates on... I know they were upset about the tickets the ticket sales, but
I haven't
heard about
shows?
Infighting.
How have they been?
I don't
Do
think
we know?
They haven't done a
no,
show yet, right?
Yet. Okay.
But they were upset about the ticket sale issues and how much tickets cost, but I haven't read anything about the two of them fighting with one another, so, I mean, that's good. Not that we would necessarily know, but I know you guys are big fans. It's hard for me to imagine, like, what band is out there that's been broken up for years that I would like to see as much as you guys would like to see Oasis. And then to have that hope go out, spend all that money on those tickets. I mean, it's like buying Super Bowl tickets.
Yeah.
You got to really be dedicated because it's not like you're going to be able to just buy them. There's no way. They're going to sell out before they even go on sale. That's how ticket sales work now for shows like that. So, and it's not like it's going to be concert week and someone's going to say,
yeah, right,
hey, discounted tickets. Not for Oasis. So I would think that what's a minimum you would have to pay to go see them in Chicago?
I bet you they're a couple hundred bucks a seat.
Oh,
for a bad seat.
I would think you're going to end up paying $500.
Well, where are they going to play?
Well, I don't know.
Are they
playing
outside like Grant Park? Like, are they going to do a Lollapalooza thing? Are they playing?
I didn't look to see what they were playing. They just listed all the cities.
An arena?
I assumed it was an arena, but I actually don't know. But either way, I just thought the cheapest tickets will end up costing
Soldier
you
Field. That'd be cool.
$500 bucks. On
right?
I don't know. We guess we could look and see how much the
you
cheapest tickets
are. You can get them for cheaper,
the
you know, if they do those big stadium tours or like a Grant Park.
Yeah.
Where there's really, no, you know, capacity is none.
But when you're
playing like five shows in North America, then just do stadiums.
That's the
or
thing.
Or do Grant Park.
They're only doing
you know,
five.
Right?
So you got people coming from all
country,
over.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they do, it will sell out. I just think all of those dates will sell out
fast
the minute that it goes on sale. So you'll end up having to buy it from somebody else, even though Oasis says they don't want that. And, yeah, well,
right.
How many times have we been through this with bands before? Sorry, it's happening. Tonight, very exciting. We had Monday Night Football last night.
Yeah.
And today we've got playoff baseball.
How about the Lions, baby?
That's very exciting. And then to wrap it all up, this is just going to be a perfect day. We're getting together to watch the vice presidential debate.
Minnesota
so
Governor
excited.
Tim Walz and Ohio Senator
that.
J.D. Vance are now preparing for their first face-off, their first and only
Yay!
Debate. And what will likely be the last
Nobody
debate of this season
this.
For
Yay!
90 minutes, they will go head-to-head on the issues that will determine this race. Abortion, immigration,
Yay!
And, of course, the economy. There will be no audience, just
abortion?
The candidates
Yay!
And the CBS News moderators, and no opening statements.
Oh, man, I can't wait to watch these two guys go at it. Ever since they call up that Tyson fight, this is what I've been looking forward to.
I'm watching. I'm excited about it.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm watching.
Walz, I could care less.
I love
Walz. V. Vance. Is it
yeah,
Walz?
Okay.
Walz. Yeah, Walz.
I will not be checking
V.
In.
Vance. That's going to be exciting. No audience, Lazo. Just the two of them and
no
a moderator.
TV audience either.
No.
Like, literally no
I
audience.
I know. I'm like, man.
Except for you two.
I cannot be.
You know you guys.
Except I'm being sarcastic. I am definitely not watching that. I believe Snowball
I had a reminder
really
set for
is.
It, yeah.
Seriously? To
yeah.
watch the VP debate?
Yeah.
Man, if I'm being honest, I'm going to watch the what presidential debate?
Yeah, I didn't watch much of it.
Yeah, wait till you get to my age, Snowcone. Yeah,
I felt bad because we were watching it, and I skipped right past the presidential debate as we were going through it. And my oldest son was like, we should probably watch a little bit of that. And I was like,
I'm going to watch it on YouTube later.
All right.
I'll see the all highlights.
Right.
I feel like I'll see the highlights.
I need to see the doctored highlights. That
exactly. Exactly.
98.9 The Rock. Your home for the Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo.
He might be rich after today. We'll see
okay.
what happens with these games. But if
well, I'm not
going
to get this Detroit game. I'm not going to get that. Even though,
hey, there's still more to come. You still got the Royals. We'll see what happens. But try to imagine, as I'm sure we all have many times in our lives, that you are wealthy. Whatever wealthy means. Mm-hmm. I think these days wealthy means like you're worth at least tens of millions, right? $1 million, I could go through $1 million in 10 years. No problem whatsoever. If you gave me $1 million right now and I didn't have any help being taught how to invest it or what to do with it, just stuck it in a savings account, I could blow through $1 million in 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
So I think to be wealthy, you need to have tens of millions. Now just imagine, let's say for this game, it'll be you're worth at least $300 million, but you could be a billionaire. I don't know. You're just super, super wealthy. How would you spend your money? What kind of rich person would you be? Would you be the kind of person who starts up a bunch of charities like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, tries to solve malaria in Africa, whatever? Would you do that?
No.
Would you just buy the biggest house you could, or would you buy a house in, you know, every single city that you like right. and just have houses all over the place? What would you do with your money? There are things, though, that you don't even realize you can do with your money until you're rich most of the time. You can research it. You might find out about some of these. But there are things rich people spend their money on that most of the time us regular folks have no idea about. And there is a story today about an Arizona couple who were part of a very exclusive club. And they got kicked out of that exclusive club. And they were very mad. And because they're wealthy, they spent a lot of money trying to get back into that exclusive club. It's a pretty crazy story, and I found some other exclusive clubs that you might not have known about. I'll tell you about this stuff, what it's like to be rich, coming up.
More Church of Laszlo on the way.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed's sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.